to this week's assist show, brought to you in association with freesupertips.com, your best place for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I've been joined by Tom McGarry and Dan Childs to run through their tips on this week's football action. And don't forget, of course, that you can interact with us as ever and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We're going to start off with the showpiece event of the weekend is the FA Cup final at Wembley on Saturday. Back to a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's all traditional time this season as Manchester City and Chelsea prepare to do battle. As far as the prices are concerned, Chelsea 15-4 here to claim the victory in the 90 minutes. 7-10 Manchester City, and it's 3-1 the draw. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, City have taken 4 points off Chelsea this season, and you've got to go back to May 2021 for the last time that Chelsea beat Pep Guardiola's men. So you can understand why City are as strong a favourites as they are.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much in their favour, isn't there? I mean, looking at that head-to-head, that was the Champions League final the last time Chelsea beat them. Since then, 13 meetings, 10 City wins, 3 draws. I mean, some people would say, oh, well, I don't really follow head-to-head form that much. Well, then you look at like the recent form of the two teams, in the league. Chelsea have been, you know, absolutely dreadful. City, I mean, everybody focuses on that bonkers game at Everton where you know, who knows, that could be the one that cost them the title. But they've actually won 8 of their last 9 games. So they've been, apart from that game, they've been playing really, really well and they're finishing the season strongly. So the injuries as well. You look at, you know, Chelsea, you've been missing a lot of their attacking players. You've got doubts still over Neto and Garnacho, whether they can, one of those can, or maybe both can come back into it and give them certainly more balance going forward. But City, they had the luxury of, you know, rested some big players, didn't they, for the game against Palace in midweek that they won 3-0 to stay in the title hunt. And you've got the likes of, you know, Haaland, Cherki coming in fresh. So, everything seems to point to City.
I mean, we'll get the best bets in a moment from both Dan and Tom. But Tom, if you are a Chelsea fan, and our producer Ben is and is hoping to cling on to anything ahead of Saturday's final, is that obviously City have lost the last two finals and that might play on their mind a bit.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, particularly last year's final defeat to Crystal Palace, where City came into the game as heavy favourites. And probably if we were doing this show, when we were doing this show 12 months ago, we'd have all been saying, yes, City We'll go on to lift the FA Cup, and they didn't. So they've got to believe Chelsea. They've put in their best performance over the last few weeks, even the last few months, in their FA Cup semi-final victory over Leeds. Now the bar's low based on the performances they have been putting in, but maybe they can raise their game. Maybe this has been where the focus has been over the last few weeks, and they'll look to cause a shock. And if they can get at Manchester City, maybe those doubts from losing last year's final, from losing to Manchester United in 2024, might just creep in for City.
Yeah, Dan, Chelsea have got to play at their best level, you feel, here to have a chance. And it's kind of hard to just flick it on, you know, all of a sudden having been disappointing, like you say. But they do have match winners in their side. And obviously, Cole Palmer in particular stands out. I thought he played a bit better against Liverpool last weekend. And he's got to have a big game if they're going to have any sort of chance of success here.
That's what I was about to say. They have got match winners in the side. Cole Palmer, you mentioned. João Pedro would be another as well. And they have got players in the midfield that, you know, Caicedo, Fernandes, if they turn up, they can certainly do a good job of giving Chelsea at least an element of control, you know, stopping them from being overwhelmed in that area of the pitch and protecting the defence, which I fear is vulnerable. So I certainly wouldn't completely write Chelsea off. However, at the prices, I'm just not sure that they've gone far enough really here, you know, given what I've said before about the form that City are in, the form that Chelsea are in. As you mentioned, Warren, you know, to just turn it on and off isn't the easiest thing to do. The doubts over the availability of key players. Estevao, you know, who's out for the rest of the season, he's another big miss for Chelsea. And I would just go with the players straight back and go with City to win without needing extra time or penalties. I just think that the way they're playing, they're going to be too strong. And I think they'll, I mean, we talked about the form in FA Cup finals, but they have been to Wembley twice in other games and had the winning feeling. They beat Arsenal 2-0 in the EFL Cup final, won their FA Cup semi-final coming from behind later on against Southampton. So they've got that Wembley winning feeling recently. I think it'll probably continue.
So one thing that Chelsea would have been hanging on to, Tom, was the fact that City had to play in midweek in that game that had something riding on it, of course, against Crystal Palace. But they were able to freshen up the squad, even Pep Guardiola's men, and still win comfortably. So you have to say it puts City in a really strong position.
It does, and it shows just how important the FA Cup is to Manchester City, and in particular Pep Guardiola. Erling Haaland's going to be firing and fresh at the weekend, desperate to score. Ryan Cherki, likewise. Jeremy Doku will come back into the starting 11, and he's been in fabulous form. He's been City star player over recent weeks. So, unlike Dan, I can't see anything other than Manchester City lifting the trophy, and I've gone for City to win with a -1 handicap. I've looked back at recent FA Cup finals, and they tend to be tight. 19 of the last 21 have been decided by no more than a one-goal margin. The last time that happened was in 2019 when City thrashed Watford 6-0. So City, if anyone, are capable, as we know, of racking up a decent score in the cup final. And although I don't think it'll be a 6-0 or anything like that, I can see them beating Chelsea by at least a couple of goals.
OK, the FA Cup final, just a reminder, a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Both Dan and Tom are certainly edging towards Manchester City as they take on Chelsea to see who lifts the famous old trophy. We're going to switch from FA Cup action to Premier League action now, because there's a whole host of key games taking place, of course, across the weekend. And we have to start off with the game at the Emirates on Monday evening at 8 p.m. Arsenal against Burnley, with Arsenal, of course, looking to take another huge step towards the title. The Gunners 11-1 on to win this game. Burnley as big as 22-1, and the draw is 10-1. It is very hard, Tom, to make any sort of case here for anything other than a home victory. Are you looking at maybe a little bit of value in that Arsenal win, or could you make a case for Burnley?
I can't really make a case for Burnley. I was struggling to make a case for Chelsea in the cup final. I definitely can't make a case, unfortunately, for Burnley in this game. But I have looked for value to accompany the Arsenal win, and I don't think they'll blow Burnley away. I've gone for Arsenal and under 3.5 goals. I mean, on paper, Burnley, 2 points from the last 27 available, one win in their last 27 league games. That run started with a 2-0 home loss to Arsenal. But maybe that scoreline, 2-0, is kind of shaping my thinking, because Burnley, on two of their last three visits to the Emirates, they've been involved in games that have gone under 2.5 goals. So they've been able to keep it relatively tight. And they have tended to be just getting the results. Six of their last seven wins in all competitions have been either 1-0 or 2-0, the exception of 3-0 victory over Fulham. So even that, bring that into the equation, the bet of Arsenal under 3.5 goals would still come in. So I think it will be reasonably comfortable for Arsenal, but yeah, maybe a 1-0, 2-0 scoreline. But certainly it has to be an Arsenal victory, doesn't it?
Dan, can you give any hope to Manchester City fans, or even Tottenham fans for that matter as well?
I'm going to agree with Tom on one point. It's certainly going to be an Arsenal victory. I'm going to disagree on how the shape of the game will be in terms of goals. I can see Arsenal blowing Burnley away. Burnley got the worst defensive record in the league. I would argue, I mean, the points will say different at the moment, but I would argue that they're the poorest side in the league. They're averaging 2.5 goals conceded per away game. Now, this is one of the toughest away games they're going to have of the season. They do score quite a few goals away from home. They've got scored 20 goals away from home, so they may be able to get in on the acting on the scoring. But I just think Arsenal's attitude here, yes, two wins, winning the title, but they're also going to be thinking, we might need to, it's possible we could end up with 4 points. Now, where the points could be dropped is that final game away to Palace. So they're not going to drop points here against Burnley. But if they to give them the possibility to draw at Palace, what they need to do is they need to get a big goal difference advantage over City. They're one worse off than City at the moment in terms of goal difference. So their attitude here, as soon as they get themselves in front, surely they are going to go hell for leather to get as many goals as possible. And I'm not sure Burnley are good enough to offer much resistance. So I'm going to go Arsenal to win and over 3.5 goals around about evens.
Okay, that is the big game at the top end of the Premier League then this weekend. What about the bottom end of the table? All eyes will be on St James's Park at 5:30 on Sunday, because Newcastle play host to a West Ham team desperate for the points, of course. Newcastle 11-10 here to claim the victory. It's 11-5 West Ham, and the draw is 14-5. It's going to be really intriguing, Dan, to see how West Ham react to what they feel was being hard done by against Arsenal in that game last time out. And they play a Newcastle team who, for long periods, looked like they were going to get a win at Nottingham Forest last weekend.
Yeah, and it pains me to say it, even being a Spurs fan, but I can see West Ham winning this game. I think that how badly they felt after the Arsenal game, the lateness of the decision, the way that it was handled, I'm not so sure it was the wrong decision. I thought, quite honestly, it was the right call. But I think a lot of that pain would have disappeared when they see the Spurs performance and result against Leeds on the Monday. They would have been thinking, we're in big trouble here. Spurs are going to win. We're going to be 4 points behind with two games to go. Well, no, they're now only 2 points behind and got a chance now going to Newcastle to get out of the bottom three and pile the pressure on Spurs, who have then got to go to Chelsea for the midweek game. I just think that it's going to give them a massive boost. I know they've lost the last couple of games, but they play well against Arsenal. I thought the margin of defeat, the 3-0 at Brentford, was harsh on them as well. They had some very good chances while the game was still in the balance in that game that they missed. I don't think they're playing that badly. And this is a game, Newcastle, 4 losses in their last 6 Premier League games. I know they had the win against Brighton, but another disappointment last weekend when they took the lead against the Forest team that were demoralised after losing that Europa League semi-final and still couldn't hold on. Forest go and score late on. I just think that they're a club at the moment, Newcastle, that they're not on a good run. Anthony Gordon looks like he's off to Bayern Munich. I just think it's that the mood there isn't great. It's a great place for West Ham to go and try and get a win. I think that they're likely winners. Therefore, I'm going to go West Ham on the draw, no bet.
As needs must for West Ham, Tom, do you think that gets them over the line here?
Yeah, I do. I tend to agree with Dan that West Ham really need to get the victory just to pile that pressure on Spurs and really give them a psychological advantage in the fight to survive. As Dan mentioned, they'll be buoyed by Spurs dropping points against Leeds. They'll be fired up to respond to what they see as a really controversial decision and a wrong decision against Arsenal last weekend. Although, like Dan, I do tend to agree that on balance it probably was the right call not to award the goal. So, in a lot of ways, this is an ideal fixture as well. Going to a Newcastle team who've lost 5 of their last 7 home Premier League games. And after that draw against Nottingham Forest last week, they've got very little to play for, really. And it just feels like the meandering towards the end of the season, the speculation that's surrounded Eddie Howe's future, players like Anthony Gordon that Dan's mentioned. It just seems to me that like Newcastle just want the season to end now and they'll regroup and go again, probably be a lot stronger next season. But for West Ham, the need is there for them. They won the reverse fixture, the Hammers, 3-1 at the London Stadium earlier this season. They won 2-0 on their last visit to St James's. They'd absolutely bite your hand off for that this time. And I do think that the value's there to go for West Ham. We're drawn a bet as well with that little safety as a caveat.
Okay. They are back in the Hammers, are the boys this week. And it would be a huge win, of course, because it would see them move out of the relegation zone before Tottenham are next in action. A few weeks ago, it looked like Aston Villa against Liverpool on Friday night at 8 p.m. was going to be a massive game in terms of the battle for the Champions League places. And it has still got something riding on it, of course, because both of these two teams are still not certain of playing at Europe's top table next season. Villa are 19-10 to claim the victory at Villa Park. Liverpool can be backed at 5-4 and the draw is 14-5. Liverpool, not great, it has to be said, against Nottingham Forest, against Chelsea last week, Tom. And Aston Villa, of course, have got maybe one eye, understandably, on the Europa League final next week.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it makes picking a winner in this game actually quite difficult. I've gone down another route and I'm looking at goals and quite a few of them. I'm going with over 2.5 in the match and both teams to find the back of the net. I mean, the incentive's there for both. A win will guarantee them a top five place, so that they'll want to go out both teams and try and get the 3 points, which should lead to a positive approach. And I've just been looking back at this fixture over the last decade, really, to run you through the results at Villa Park. There's been Villa 0, Liverpool 6, Villa 5, Liverpool 0, 7-2 Villa, 4-1 Liverpool, 2-1, 3-1 victories for Liverpool. And then the last two meetings at Villa Park, a 2-2 and a 3-3 a couple of seasons ago, at a similar time in the campaign when Villa, of course, sealed Champions League football with that result. So, I mean, it looks like goals. We know Liverpool's defensive deficiencies this season in particular, but you look at Villa's recent record, over 2.5 goals has occurred in five of their last seven games. It's occurred in three of Liverpool's last four. Everywhere I look in terms of the stats says to me, there's going to be goals in this. It should be entertaining. And yeah, I think it's one that, from a neutral point of view, everyone's going to want to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we're recording this on Thursday morning, and we've already heard from Arne Slot in the build-up to this that Mo Salah could be fit enough to play some part in Friday's game. Salah scored 9 goals and has got 5 assists as well in 13 appearances against Villa. Dan, does the Salah return sway anything towards Liverpool here, or how are you looking at this?
No, I'm going to, I mean, Salah obviously is going to be a boost, you know, coming back into any squad, but he's not the player that he was. He's not going to be sharp, fully sharp. And I think Villa are overpriced here. I think there's a little bit too much feeding into the markets here that, oh, Villa have got the Europa League final next week, therefore they're going to, you know, rest the whole team and play like they did against Spurs the other week. I'm not sure that's going to be the case here. Villa need to qualify for the Champions League. They just missed out last season. They took a bit of a chance with a selection against Spurs, probably then thinking they're going to go and win at Burnley. Didn't win at Burnley, and it's now getting pretty critical for them. And you've got Bournemouth and Brighton chasing, and they're not going to want to go to Manchester City on the last day and need something, you know, to guarantee, you know, bearing in mind we've got to wait and see what happens in the Europa League final. But if you go into that Europa League final and you're not secure in the top five, that puts more pressure on that game anyway. This is going to be, I'm sure, going to be the thought process. I think they'll go stronger than they did against Spurs. Can't be sure, but that would be my thoughts. Liverpool got Salah back. Wirtz could be back, but still going to have a lot of players injured. They're not playing that well. You know, these are two teams on the same points. Villa got home advantage. Liverpool are not great away. Lost 8 away games in the Premier League this season. Odds against Villa on the draw no bet. I just think it's a little bit too big. Go with Villa on the draw no bet.
Yeah, and Dan's mentioned, of course, that Bournemouth are chasing hard at the moment. They, along with Tottenham, are the two teams that don't have a Premier League game this weekend due to the FA Cup final. So it gives Brighton the opportunity, of course, to further stake their claim for a European spot next season. They make the long journey up to Yorkshire to take on Leeds at Elland Road on Sunday. A 3 o'clock kickoff. Leeds 11-5 to claim the win here. It's 23-20 Brighton, and it's 13-5 the draw. It could be tagged as the James Milner derby, this, for the team that he started with against the team that he might end his career with at the moment. And it's Brighton who are flying high at the moment. Dan, can they stake their claim for Europe with a win here?
I think so, yeah. I'll take Brighton to win. I think they'll have even more to play for, depending on the outcome of that the Villa-Liverpool game. Because if that match isn't a draw, then Brighton, if they win at Leeds, would know that they could catch whoever loses that game, you know, on the final day. So, and which could be, you know, that could be absolutely massive, couldn't it, in terms of, you know, maybe even nicking into to Champions League qualification. So, loads to play for Brighton. They're in form, one of the form teams in the league. 5 wins, I think, in the last 7 matches. And Leeds look to me, they've got a point at Spurs. Watched the game on Monday, but I thought that was quite a low-quality game, to be honest. I thought Spurs were nervous, and I felt that Leeds, understandably, their intensity was less after their safety had been confirmed. They've got a few injuries kind of, you know, increasing, piling up at the moment. Okafor, Goodmanson, who's a key player, Bogle. So they've got a couple of players there in a similar position as well in the wing-back areas, injured. And I just think it's a very good... I know it's Leeds' last home game. Teams always want to do well in your last home game, but I think it's a good time for Brighton to go there. And odds against in a game, they're going to go thinking we need... The draw's not going to be worth a lot. We need to win. I would back them to get that win.
What a season, Tom, this could be for Tony Bloom. I mean, he could have Brighton and Hearts, who has got, of course, a bit of interest in both of them, in the Champions League for next season. How are Brighton going to get on Elland Road, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what that means for multi-club ownership and all that kind of thing. They're both in the Champions League, but certainly it's been a fantastic season for both those two clubs. I'm a little bit more cautious than Dan regarding this trip to Elland Road for Brighton. I think Leeds are capable of getting a draw. They will be fired up to in their final home game of the season. It's been a really successful season for Leeds as well, staying in the Premier League in the end, reasonably comfortably. So there should be a really good atmosphere at Elland Road. Leeds only 4 defeats in their last 23 games as well. They're unbeaten in 7. Tend to be the draw specialist as well. They've drawn 14 times in the league this season. Only Bournemouth with 16 have had more. So I think they're capable of avoiding defeat in this match. Yes, Brighton are in good form. Yes, they're pushing for the European places, but maybe a point for them might end up being a good result come the shake-up at the end of the season anyway. So I'm looking at this to finish all square. Worth noting as well, the last two meetings between the two sides in Yorkshire have also finished as a draw. So yeah, I think it'll be pretty tight.
Okay, 4 more games to look ahead to in the Premier League. Just firstly, a heads up to look out for May's free bet offers on the racingpost.com website. Also, make sure you check out the Racing Post recommend section on there as well. That's our bookmaker advice service that also provides betting strategies to follow. Up next, it's to the GTEC Community Stadium for Brentford against Crystal Palace. The Bees 8-11 here to claim the points. Palace are 100-30, and the draw can be backed at 16-5. Tom, what a season it's been for Brentford. A lot of talk recently about who could be the manager of the year, and Keith Andrews has got to have a say in that.
I think so, yeah. Certainly in terms of what the expectation levels were for most people at the start of the season compared to what Brentford have achieved, because a lot of people, myself included, were suggesting that Brentford were going to be facing a long, hard season and fighting against the drop. That hasn't been the case. And, European football is very much a realistic aim still heading into the final two match days. And I think they'll beat Palace on home soil. They've only lost 3 times at the GTEC all season in the league. They've never lost a home match to Palace in the Premier League. And Dan mentioned earlier on about Aston Villa still having a lot to play for in the Premier League, despite having a big European final to come. So they'll be focused on that match with Liverpool. I don't think the same can necessarily be said for Palace, particularly as we're getting closer and closer to that Conference League final. It'll be so important, such a big occasion for the club. But naturally, one or two might now start taking their eye off the ball. And Brentford can capitalise on this. I think the Bees can win, which will put them in a fabulous position heading into the final day.
Yeah, not only, Dan, Palace got that Conference League final to look ahead to, but they've also, of course, had that midweek game against City. And you can kind of see where Tom's coming from there in terms of edging towards Brentford.
Totally. I would agree with pretty much everything Tom said there. I think they're kind of managing minutes at the moment, aren't they, Palace? Your likes of sort of Saar, Wharton, Kamada, they were came off the bench against Manchester City. Other first team regulars started, so maybe they'll be on a few others will be on the bench, this weekend. They're just trying to get through without any, a nice healthy squad for that Conference League final, which comes after the end of the Premier League season. But I don't think they're going to be playing at full on intensity until then. None of the players are not going to want to get injured, are they? Whereas Brentford are going to be going full throttle as they, for them, as the size of their club, to be with a chance of getting into Europe is a massive deal. They're going to be, bang up for it. They've had a really good season, and I just think this is an ideal fixture for them, Brentford to win.
Okay, well, one of Brentford's European rivals, Everton, who are in action on Sunday at 3 o'clock as they play host to Sunderland at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. Everton here 4-5, Sunderland 100-30, and the draw is 11-4. And Everton's home performances have picked up in recent weeks, highlighted, Dan, by what you said earlier with that draw with Manchester City.
Yeah, the home performances have picked up, but you also feel that they might think there's a bit of a missed opportunity, and they've not been that far off getting into this sort of European race, and they've had no win in the last 5 games. So there's a little bit of a missed opportunity there for Everton. I think they're probably kind of where they should be at the moment. They're a very well organised side, lacking a little bit of real top quality in the attacking area, especially with Jack Grealish as well being injured for the last few months. He would have added he was adding quite a bit for them, wasn't he, earlier in the season. Sunderland are only a point below Everton. I mean, they've had a fantastic season. Every time you think that they're on the beach. We kind of say it on here, don't we? And then they come up with another result. They did it again last week with a draw against Manchester United. So I think we've probably too many times we've been writing them off and questioning their professionalism, if you like. They've just kept going. You know, you got the big exception was that Nottingham Forest game, but apart from that, they're well coached, highly competitive, a little bit like Everton in that they lack real top quality at the top end of the pitch. So that's where I'm going to go with this. I just think neither team are amazing up front. They're both well organised. I can see a tight, low scoring game that increases the chances of a draw. Going to go for the draw.
Yeah, and it was pretty much that story when the two teams met in the FA Cup, of course, Tom, earlier in the season. So Sunderland have got a bit of experience of the Hill Dickinson behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. That game finished 1-1, didn't it? Sunderland went through on penalties. The league meeting earlier in the season at the Stadium of Light also finished 1-1. And I was down, I've gone for the draw. I was tempted to go with the 1-1 correct score to complete the trilogy. But yeah, I think the draw's the more sensible play. Both sides' European hopes have faded, really. Everton, those missed opportunities in recent weeks, as Dan said, no win in five. That they've drawn the last two. They've actually been uncharacteristically conceding quite a few goals over recent weeks as well. But Sunderland, good, solid point against Manchester United last week to underline that they still want to finish the season strongly. Just a point between the two sides. They're both very, very evenly matched. Very much feel like mid-table teams, and yeah, I think this will end in a share of the spoils.
It could well be a bit of a party atmosphere at Old Trafford in Sunday's early kick-off, a 12:30 start as Manchester United and Nottingham Forest go head-to-head. Forest, of course, have already sealed their survival with two games left. Manchester United already secured their spot in the Champions League. So the pressure off both of these two teams, Tom, going into this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this could be a really entertaining game. I fancy Manchester United to win, but I can see there being at least three goals in the match. As you say, feel-good factor at Old Trafford at the moment. They've got the Champions League. Michael Carrick looks like, or it's becoming increasingly likely that he's going to be the club's boss going into next season. He's only lost two of his 15 games in charge. And yeah, I just feel like United will want to sign off with their final home game of the season in style. And for Forest, safety guaranteed now after the results last week. They've not got a Europa League final to look forward to. So I just wonder how fully focused they're going to be on this game. I think United might win it quite comfortably, but Forest can contribute to the scoring. United have only kept, although without a clean sheet in any of their last five home games, and Forest won 3-2 at Old Trafford last season. So yeah, I think United should win this game, but it could be a pretty open affair.
Dan, just before you give us your best bet for this game, I'm throwing you a bit of a curveball here, but I just wanted to flag up something ahead of the World Cup, because I've just been really impressed with Morgan Gibbs-White over the last sort of 2 or 3 months in particular. When Forrest have needed him to stand up, he's delivered. Is he going to be in that squad, do you think, that Thomas Tuchel names to go to the World Cup?
I think he'll certainly be in the conversation. I think it helps as well that, you know, I mean, some of the players in that position, I'm thinking sort of like Phil Foden, you know, hasn't been, you know, I know he had a great assist in the week, but he's not been consistent and in, you know, starting regular games for Manchester City. So the competition for that area that was looking really fierce at one stage for that number 10 position maybe isn't quite as hot as it was. So, you know, yeah, I think it'll be a tight call. I mean, for this game, I think it might be a game too far for Forest. I think they kind of raised themselves for one more big effort. You've got to remember they went into that game against Newcastle last weekend still feeling that they needed something to stay up, got the point. Now they're completely safe. As Tom mentioned, it was bitterly disappointing, not just going out of the Europa League, but the manner of it as well was... you know, they really didn't turn up on the night and got like I looked at their injury list. They've got 10 players that are either out or doubts. I just think it might be a game where they have a bit of a dip. And United, last home game of the season, they've not been winning that many games by a comfortable margin. But I think this could buck the trend here. I'm going to go United -1 on the Asian handicap. So if they win by more than one goal, you get a winning bet. If they win by a single goal, stakes returned.
I normally say at this point, last but not least, but actually, I don't show that it's a fair comment for Wolves against Fulham being the last game, because, of course, it's one team who are already relegated and been relegated for some time against the Fulham team who are coming to a really stuttering end to this Premier League season. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff at Molineux on Sunday. Wolves 14-5 to claim the win. 9-10 Fulham, the draw 14-5. What's your best bet for this one, Dan?
I'm going to go with a draw. I just think Fulham are a little bit too short. Lost the last two games, which was important to them because they were before that. They were certainly in the race for these European places. Less so now. Wolves had a terrible season, but they have been getting more competitive at home. I looked at their last 9 home Premier League games. Only 3 of them were defeats. So they've been getting more results in front of their home fans. It's their last home game of the season, so they want to put on a strong performance. They're a poor side, so I wouldn't be backing them to win, but I think they may just take a point.
Tom, your thoughts on this one?
My thoughts are, I feel sorry for whoever has to watch this game and that week. And I mean, I've gone for under 2.5 goals. Both sides have only scored 1 goal across their last 5 games. I mean, the Wolves did have that improvement, didn't they, before the last international break, but they've been really poor since then. Rob Edwards said they weren't mentally engaged in last week's defeat against Brighton, which is worrying. Mass overhaul at Molineux over the summer. A lot of the players involved this weekend probably won't still be at the club come the start of next season. And Fulham, where's Marco Silva going to be? His future uncertain once again. And as it has done in the last few campaigns, that Fulham's season is like it's just petered out slightly. So I think this might be a very low scoring. 1 goal might win it either way, but yeah, certainly don't have it down as being a classic.
Well, that wraps up the Premier League action then for this weekend. We'll have an FPL update in a moment or so's time if you're looking to plan your fantasy league for this week's Premier League fixtures. Before then, though, well, we can't go any further without discussing what has been a sensational Scottish Premiership season, which is going to go right down to the wire after a dramatic Wednesday night, which saw a last-gasp penalty for Celtic put everything on the line, really, in terms of Saturday's 12:30 kickoff at Parkhead. Celtic against Hearts, with, of course, Hearts having that 1-point advantage going into the final day. But, Tom, I think probably we'll be still raging from that penalty decision which went in Celtic's favour in midweek when it comes to kickoff time on Saturday.
Absolutely. I mean, Derek McInnes, when he was being interviewed after the victory over Falkirk last night, was fuming at that decision in the Motherwell Celtic game. I mean, the more you look at it, the less of a penalty it appears to be. But Celtic got the decision. Kelechi Iheanacho scored the penalty. And perhaps that's a huge momentum swing in Celtic's favour going into this game. They've got home advantage. And now they know that any kind of victory will see them retain their crown. For Hearts, it's always a difficult situation, isn't it, when you're a team that are just looking to avoid defeat. How do you approach this game? Are they positive? Do they sit back and try and hold on for the draw? Let's not forget, they're looking to win their first league title since 1960, looking to become the first non-Old Firm team to win the Scottish top flight since 1985. So there's a lot of pressure in that regard on the shoulders of Hearts going into this game. But I'm finding looking for a result from it quite hard to do because I think you can argue both sides will feel their names written on the trophy. Celtic, with the amount of last-gasp winners they've had over recent months, including on Wednesday night. Hearts have had that really good knack of conceding the first goal and then still going on to win games over the last few weeks as well. So I'm steering it clear of picking out. And I'm completely sitting on the fence, I should say, in terms of who's going to win the title. Let's just look at some goals, over 2.5 and both teams to score. Celtic, 1 clean sheet in their last 13 league games. Their defence is ropey, to say the least. The last 5 have all gone over 2.5 goals as well. Hearts, just 1 clean sheet in 6. So, yeah, I think it could be, well, it's going to be. The season in Scotland has been just fantastic in the title race. There's going to be plenty of twists and turns in this match, and that should lead to plenty of goals.
I'll be amazed if this game isn't still in the balance and the title isn't still in the balance going into the last 10 or 15 minutes of the game on Saturday. As you've already said, it would be the biggest surprise in decades, like in Scotland. And I'm amazed a little bit, Tom, that Hearts were as short as 25-1 at the start of the season. I would have thought they'd probably been bigger. And if anybody was thinking, because of course Hearts win the title with a draw, of going double chance draw or Hearts, you can get 11-8 on that. And you look at the both performances, or the performances between the two sides this season, it's kind of swung one way and another, Tom, so far.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, arguably Hearts have had the better of it. They've had a couple of wins and a draw. So if you're looking at the value on that, I mean, 11 to 20 for Celtic seems quite short. Hearts, you know, there's value there. One thing I would say is Hearts have lost five times in the league this season, and they've all been on their travels, whereas Celtic's home record, really good, 14 wins in 18. So, you know, the head kind of says Celtic should probably win this game, but from a neutral perspective, I know lots of people, they want that fairy tale ending for Hearts, who've led for the vast majority of this season, and yeah, it'd be a real shame for Derek McInnes' side if they fell at the final hurdle.
What I will say is it's an aperitif to certainly watch with some vigour on Saturday ahead of the FA Cup final, of course, at 3 o'clock. So sit down on your sofa and look forward to two cracking games on Saturday afternoon. Up next for us, it's the Fantasy Premier League time on The Assist. Jamie Philby joins us this week to give us his tips on who to select in your FPL team.
It's that time of the week when we recommend three players that you should consider bringing into your FPL team. Our defender pick for Game Week 37 is Everton centre-back James Tarkowski. Fresh off a 15-point haul against Palace last time out, the Toffees host Sunderland on Saturday. He's already been transferred in by over 50,000 managers this week and will cost you 5.7 million. Tarkowski is great for DEFCON, with only Marcos Senesi accumulating more this season. The Everton vice-captain averages over 10 per start. Our midfield pick is owned by just 1% of managers, and he goes by the name of Jack Hinshelwood. The Brighton star comes in at a bargain price of 5.1 million, and he's racked up 23 points in the last three game weeks. With an expected goal involvement per 90 of 0.36, he has shown he's undervalued and will likely be in for a prize hike next season. The Seagulls face Leeds at Elland Road, and Daniel Farker's men are mathematically safe, so expect an end-to-end encounter in Yorkshire. And finally, our striker pick is none other than Brentford's Igor Thiago. The Bees forward has netted 22 goals, accumulating an XG of 20.4. So it's no fluke he's done so well this term. Thiago is priced at 7.3 million, which is very accessible for all managers. Brentford hosts Crystal Palace this weekend. Palace are likely to have one eye on their European final in 2 weeks, so he looks well worth the punt.
Big thanks to Jamie then, and we move from FPL now to EFL, because the Championship playoff final teams were decided this week. It will be Hull against Southampton at Wembley on Saturday, May the 23rd. And Dan, if you went back sort of 6 months, I don't think many people would have been predicting that, because Hull, of course, were, even though they started the season pretty well, I don't think many people probably thought they would sort of hold on to the playoff positions right until the end. And Southampton, of course, started the season so badly that they got rid of Will Still pretty early on.
No, nobody would have picked these two, would they? I mean, people would probably have, at the start, would have had Southampton maybe as automatic promotion, Hull nowhere near the playoffs. Before I crack on with that, I mean, Tom was mentioning about being on the fence for that Hearts Celtic game. I'm just looking at what the colour of the top he's wearing now. I mean, maybe that might give you a sign, maybe on who he'll be backing. But anyway, back to the Hull and Southampton game. I think Hull, I mean, against Millwall, I didn't fancy them, but I've got to be honest, you know, they defended incredibly well, especially in that second leg, went to the back three, dealt with a lot of Millwall's direct play at the moments. Bellumi, who's not really played much of a role for them this season, he's giving them a little bit of a craft and an X factor, you know, going into a crucial stage of the season. McBurney's obviously the main man up front with all of his goals. Defensively, early part of the season, Hull, they were conceding a lot of goals, although they were staying up in the area pushing for top six and even higher. They were conceding a lot. Defensively, they're doing a lot better since then. Got to mention as well, they've had two wins over Southampton in the regular season. I mean, that's got to give you some confidence as well. But the other side of the coin, Southampton been on this long unbeaten run against Championship opposition. Only defeat they've had to any club since January was against Manchester City in the FA Cup semi-final. So they've been amazing. Obviously, there's a lot of controversy over the way that they've gone through, but if you're just looking at the football, certainly in the second leg, they were the better side in the second leg. And although the goal was fortunate, it was a cross that ended up going in extra time. They were certainly the team that were pushing. They're a team that they play good football, but they're very strong with set pieces. So I'd be interested to see how Hull deal with that. We'll probably go with their back three again, but it'd be a fascinating game. And Southampton are odds on favourites to win within the 90 minutes. Probably reflects certainly got the stronger start on paper, the stronger start in 11 and the better players off the bench. But I'd be interested to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll get Dan's tips next week, of course, on the assist for the playoff final. Hull, as things stand early days in terms of the betting, 7-2 to win the final in 90 minutes. It's 5-6 Southampton and 23-10 the draw. Just a quick word finally, Dan, in terms of this game on both attacking threats from both of these two teams, because you know, you look at it in the raw sort of daylight and the way that Southampton, of course, saw off Arsenal, and you'd think, you know, with the likes of Finn Azaz and Ross Stewart now coming back to fitness as well, they've got some real firepower going forward. But in Joe Gelhart and Ollie McBurney, Hull have possibly, you know, one of the best strike forces, you'd argue, in the Championship.
Absolutely, yeah. But McBurney has been amazing. Gelhart did a lot of his work, didn't he, in the early part of the season, yeah. Was their top scorer for a while, got good movement, good technique. And as I mentioned, Bellumi's just giving him a little bit extra now as well. He started to come to the fore the last couple of games. I just think Southampton, just looking at the attack, though, they've got so many options. Centre forward, you take your pick between Stewart and Larrion. I mean, but either of those would walk into most Championship teams. You've got Leo Cienza, his sort of trickery and craft. Finn Azaz, who you've mentioned, Dozy, you know, coming off the bench. They've got so many players that can turn a game and win you a game. Probably explains why they're favourites.
Yeah. Well, as I say, we'll be looking ahead to that in more detail, of course, in next week's assist. The Championship playoff final is on Saturday, May the 23rd, between Hull and Southampton. We're going to turn our attentions back to the Premier League again now, because Tom's got a Bet Builder selection for us to follow. And I think you're looking, Tom, at the game at Old Trafford.
Yeah, Manchester United against Nottingham Forest. And it's a decent value Bet Builder as well, it would seem, on paper. At first leg, I've gone for over three goals. I spoke earlier on about the fact that this should be a pretty open and entertaining game. It was 2-2 earlier in the season at the City Ground. Five goals when they last met at Old Trafford. Forest winning that 3-2 last season. And United's lack of clean sheets at home, and I mentioned, but Forest, they've scored 13 goals across their last four Premier League away games. That includes the five they put past Sunderland, but they also scored two at Manchester City, three at both Tottenham and Chelsea. So they found their feet from a goal-scoring point of view at the end of their campaign. So, yeah, this should be a pretty high-scoring game, and certainly go above the three-goal mark. And if we do get three or more goals, you can bet that Bruno Fernandes will probably be involved in some capacity for Manchester United. Fernandes to assist is the second part of my Bet Builder. He's one off equaling the Premier League record for assists in a season, currently on 19. So he'll have his eye on matching and then breaking that record over the next couple of weeks. And one of those assists he got earlier in the campaign was in the reverse fixture against Forest. And then to complete the Bet Builder, Elliot Anderson to have just one shot on target, fresh from scoring against his former club, Newcastle, last weekend. He could have a big say against potentially his future club, if reports are to be believed. Manchester United, one of the teams linked with him. He's had a shot on target in two of his last three Premier League games, and it certainly doesn't feel too outlandish to suggest that he'll trouble the Manchester United goal on at least one occasion.
And we can get 16-1 on that Bet Builder as well, which I think is a really healthy price. That is Tom's Premier League Bet Builder for this week. Time now for the assist treble with a selection from each of us. And Dan, we'll start with your pick first for the treble.
Yeah, just Man City to beat Chelsea in the cup final in regulation time. I think with this game, I think City would be shorter if it wasn't. I think that it was Chelsea get a lot of extra respect because they are a massive club with big resources. But if you just look at the bare data, 28 points difference, City's goal difference in the Premier League, plus 43, Chelsea's only plus 6. There's just and you look at the head-to-head record that we mentioned earlier, I just think, City should win the game.
Okay, it's Man City for Dan. Who's your selection, Tom?
Yeah, I've gone for Manchester United to beat Nottingham Forest. As we mentioned earlier on, Forest, the job's done. They've survived. They haven't got a European final to look forward to. And United continue that positive vibe under Michael Carrick and sign off for the season at Old Trafford with a decent victory.
So Manchester City and Manchester United for Dan and Tom. I'm going with RB Leipzig to make up the treble on the final day of the Bundesliga season to win at Freiburg at 13-10. Leipzig have lost just one of the last nine games. That's a run that's catapulted them up to third in the Bundesliga, and they've secured Champions League qualification. Ole Werner's men have scored nine goals across the last four matches. And pretty remarkably, they've all been scored by nine different goal scorers as well. Leipzig now facing a Freiburg team that have got that Europa League final, of course, to look forward to against Villa next week. And they've failed to win any of the last three league games with two defeats and a draw. And Freiburg have not won any of the last 14 meetings with Leipzig and have failed to score in their last two matchups as well. So that's why I'm heading towards RB Leipzig in terms of the assist treble. We're going to conclude this week's show with the NAP selections from Tom and Dan. And Tom, we'll start with your NAP first.
Yeah, I've gone for West Ham, draw no bet against Newcastle. Away to St James's is usually a really tough trip, but Newcastle's form, as we mentioned earlier, poor at home. They've not really got a lot to play for. It feels like we're kind of, you know, teetering towards the end of the season from their point of view. West Ham need the win. Need to be positive, riled up after last week's defeat to Arsenal. I could see them getting the result.
And who's your NAP this week, Dan?
I'm going to go with Brighton to win at Leeds. 16 points from the last seven games, loads to play for. And I just feel that they're facing a Leeds side whose their foot is coming slightly off the pedal. Brighton to win.
Okay, big thanks to both Dan and Tom for all their input on this week's show. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. The Assist will be back at the same time next Thursday for the final time this season when we look ahead to the last round of Premier League games. Will it be the title and relegation still on the line? Also, just to give you a quick heads up, to keep an eye out for the Racing Post's Ultimate World Cup preview, which will be coming your way in early June. In the meantime, enjoy your football action this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.